Yeah, 12 minutes past 11, and we're very lucky that David White, the CEO of New Zealand Cricket, has found some time in his busy schedule today to be able to talk to us. Good morning, David.
Hi, g'day, Smithy.
Yeah, good, mate. You've been announced this morning a very busy, very conclusive, actually, home summer of cricket, which looks very, very exciting. The way I've split it down is about 39 days for the Black Caps here at home and six at least for the White Ferns. So that's plenty of exposure.
Yeah, we've got. I think we've got most of the teams from the subcontinent coming as well as England, which will. It's going to be a great summer. We're really looking forward to it. And the great thing with all our planning, Smithy, is that we haven't mentioned the word MIQ or COVID so far. So long may that continue.
Of course, not only have you announced this particular window of fixtures, David, but there's plenty going on overseas for the Black Caps as well. For instance, we've had a couple of texts saying, why haven't we got cricket here over Christmas, New Year, when the kids are on holiday, the parents are on holiday, etc. But the Black Caps have other commitments, yeah?
Yeah, I was asked this question at the press conference before, and as you know, apart from England and the West Indies, all other countries play in the same window, really, so as our summer. So it's unavoidable that at some stage we have to play offshore in our summer. We've been to Australia before, as you know, and this time it's Pakistan and India. But in saying that, we start in October, start of October through to the end of April, so it's a big summer.
Okay, let's look at the first initiative, which is quite a nice little tri-series to begin with in T20 cricket.
Yeah, so we're playing as preparation for the T20 in Australia. And we've selected Hagley Oval for a number of reasons. Firstly, we need one venue, but it is one of the driest parts of the country on the East Coast. And typically, club cricket starts earlier in Christchurch than anywhere else. And also, it's our ground with the biggest boundaries and probably one of the quickest wickets. So it will replicate the conditions that we're going to be playing in Australia.
So we've got also, of course, the Indians arriving, which is always a big draw card, white ball cricket, test cricket, whatever. But three T20s initially, then three one-day internationals as well, and that goes pretty much around the country as such. In fact, no, stays, yeah, it's five in the North Island, one in the South, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously we've got to play at the lights. We share around the country we're... be great to take them to Hagley with lights, but shared around the country. And I think the big one for Aucklanders will be the first ODI is going to be played at Eden Park, which is fantastic. Great to have international cricket or the Black Caps playing at Eden Park for the first time in a few years.
That's an interesting question, actually. It was mooted that international cricket was going to move away from Eden Park and perhaps go to Western Springs or something at one point. Dave, has there been any substance to that, or is Eden Park still very much on the agenda for a while?
We indicated that we were open to playing test cricket at another venue in Auckland, which was going to be Western Springs, but that never eventuated, unfortunately. So we'll be playing ODI and T20 cricket at Eden Park. We're playing one ODI against India and one of each against Sri Lanka.
The White Ferns have got a series against Bangladesh, and on the evidence of what we saw in the World Cup, Bangladesh will be quite a competitive side. What else is on the agenda for the White Ferns? And they've got the Commonwealth Games. What after that, David?
So they play the Commonwealth Games, and then they're going to the West Indies in September for a white ball series. So they then come home, play Bangladesh, and then they're off to the World T20 in South Africa. They leave late January and play it over there. And the one thing that your listeners will be interested in is that we're currently finalising the Future Tours program for the White Ferns from 23 to 27 at the moment. So there's going to be significantly more cricket for them. There'll be an annual ICC event, plus a lot more bilateral cricket for them going forward.
And I guess the question, just to tag on to the bottom of that, are we going to be engaged in any test cricket, David, would you imagine, or is that off the table at the moment for women?
It's not. For New Zealand cricket strategy, our focus is on white ball cricket. we aren't focused on Test cricket for the women's camp.
Okay, right. Okay, so you are focused on Test cricket, of course, for the men's. There's two tests against England in February, towards the end of February, and then straight away two after that, pretty much against Sri Lanka. So that is our red ball window there. It's about Monday the 20th of February through to about the end of March. So a good opportunity there for that game.
In addition to the two tests, and the two tests with Bahrain and Pakistan as well. So there's six tests for the summer.
Yeah, okay, so that's in Pakistan, of course. People saying, a couple of texts coming in, say, why do we not play the three-man series? I think we've discussed this in the past, but you can reiterate why to our listeners, David, that we don't have, as we've just had in England, a three-test series?
Yeah, so as you know, the window is incredibly congested. Three test matches is a lot, and we want to play white ball cricket as well. The three test match series, it's not a series as such for points now, because the points go towards the World Test Championship for each test match. It's a model that we've developed. So we want to have a balance of test cricket and white ball cricket.
I'm continuing to get these texts in about. There's just, as you say, it's very hard to find a window where everything's good. So what are we doing overseas throughout the course? Do we go to Australia so at least the Black Caps will be on display during those times when people are on holiday?
So we can. You're talking about the January February window.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're leaving to go to Pakistan. Just before Christmas, we're going to Pakistan and India in January. So we're going to play two test matches and three ODIs in Pakistan. Then we're playing six white ball games in India. Then we're returning home for the England series.
Okay, so still a lot of Black Caps action on television. David, obviously, on the morning after the night that was, not such a great result, lost six of the last eight. I mean, what does New Zealand cricket from a body point of view do about that? Do you have reviews at the end of test series, et cetera, or tours?
Yeah, we do. Every tour, we have a comprehensive review. We have a campaign plan that's prepared before every tour, and we review that campaign plan. Clearly, it's not gone as well as we would have liked, but we're going to review that. We'll work through that in a nice, calm, methodical manner. The Black Caps have been successful of late, although we're not where we want to be recently, and we understand that, but we've got to go through the review to understand why we haven't played as well as we would have liked.
So, as I say, six out of the last eight in various conditions. Of course, you know, when you have radio stations like this, you do get a lot of feedback, and there's a lot of disappointment, which is a good thing. It's a good thing because people care about the things that... one of the big thing talking points, David, and you would be aware of this anyway, is the fact that we don't quite know how or when to use our spinners as such at the moment, and that was found glaringly wanting again. What do we do about spin bowling in this country?
Yeah, it's a topic of a lot of conversation at the moment with our high-performance department and our MAs. It's got to be a key focus for us going forward, absolutely. This will be reviewed like everything else at the end of the tour.
It's all very well to win games at home by producing wickets that suit the seamers, but, of course, it doesn't stand you in great stead, does it? If we're a bad pun, really, but it doesn't stand you in great stead. Looking forward to when you have to tour extensively, as we're going to have to do coming up.
I think I understand what you're saying, and I understand the passion from the listeners. That's what we've got to address. There's no question about that.
We do have spin bowling coaches, et cetera, and high performance people looking at that area of the game for us.
Yeah, we do. We have we've got Paul Wiseman, who's focused on spin bowling coaching. But one of the areas that we are discussing now is getting more specialist coaches in at the MA level for a start, so that we can increase the investment in spin bowling and other areas of wicket keeping as well, where we probably should be doing more.
Hey, David, that brings up another issue that people come in and they write in, etc. They ring us and they say, listen, all of a sudden we're seeing some of our better coaches, etc., being employed overseas. Brendan McCullum goes to England, does what he's done. Dan Vettori joins Australia, very high-profile people in the sports minds in this country. Yet they don't seem to be working for us. Has that ever been an issue? Have you ever approached those guys, or are you sort of just content with what you've got?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're a great coach. So what we do is we go through a process of picking the person with the right skills, and I don't think that we can be questioned over the coaches. Recently, Mike Hessen did a tremendous job, and Gary Stead has done an incredible job. I mean, let's not forget, 12 months ago, we were the World Test Champions under his reign. Mm. And also under his reign, we made the World T20 final. So let's not look too far back for success. We utilise some of these people. We've utilised Stephen Fleming at the World T20. Brendan has been around the group at times. So I'm very comfortable with our process of appointing coaches. Likewise, I'm incredibly pleased of our performance over a number of years now of the Black Caps. Yes, at the moment, we're hitting a bit of a bumpy patch, but let's not forget what's been achieved by this team over a number of years now.
Yeah, I don't think people are. I think people just, because when you perform very well and you become a champion, or you're very close to being a champion in all the forms of the game, I think people tend to expect more all the time, David. I think that's more about, as I said, it's a great reflection that people actually do care.
Oh, and that's great, Smithy. I agree. And we care, of course we do. And we will be working to do everything we can to ensure that what's happened over the last few months will not be repeated. I'd also like to say that England did play well. We were beaten by a better team. They won key moments, and they played some exceptional cricket as well. It was quite amazing to watch Bairstow play like a T20. I mean, is that something that's going to happen in the future? I don't know, but it's certainly kind of changed the dial a bit, hasn't it? It's really interesting to view.
I think it's fair to say, I mean, you know, Brendan, one of the things Brendan McCullum did in one day international cricket, as we all do know when he was playing for us, is that he made sure that the game stayed on an aggressive nature. In other words, he wanted something to happen basically every ball. And it seems to me that from looking from the outside, that's pretty much his attitude as well as Test cricket. And obviously it works well so far. There will be days when it doesn't work. You and I have played enough cricket to know that it's not going to happen every single day he goes to the office. But you might be right. You might have hit on something there that may be a trend going forward, not just for players, but for fans alike.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Brendan. I mean, he transformed our cricket, didn't he? Let's be honest. In 2012, he led the way, and that was fantastic. And it appears that he's doing it with England. So our guys are still in close contact with Brendan. He's obviously a passionate New Zealander, cares deeply about cricket in New Zealand as well. And who knows in the future, you know, he could be involved. But fair play to Brendan now. He started off well, hasn't he?
Yeah, you might have to get the checkbook out, mate, to be fair.
I don't think we could afford him at this stage.
I'm not sure anyone could, to be fair. Here's the other issue which people, and I'm not just saying this because I'm an ex-Sky employee, the numbers watching cricket and that these days, I read an article where you're pretty happy with that, the way things are going, but still in some areas of New Zealand, perhaps the rural areas, etc., people text us in and say they're finding it very hard to follow the Black Caps. What are the answers there?
Well, you know, I've said before on a number of occasions, over the summer, our combination of the amount of cricket we've got on free-to-air and the Super Smash. Now, we now have 64 games of domestic cricket, which is shown on Spark. We used to have 15 on Sky. It's extraordinary, the coverage we're getting for domestic cricket. We're getting free-to-air with Black Caps and White Ferns as well as a combination. That situation where the rural farmers, I mean, I know that Spark are looking at it and I know they're increasing the capacity all the time, but it's difficult for me to comment on. I don't exactly know the facts.
Okay, but you're confident that cricket has the ability to go into as many homes as it ever did, yeah?
We are accessing a lot more people than we ever did because we are on free-to-air as well. I mean, over 50% of our Super Smash games, men and women, are shown on free-to-air, and a lot of our international games, as well as a combination of the digital process through Spark, who are doing a terrific job.
And one final one, Rich has come in. Can you please ask David White when the next FTP, I imagine that's future test program, will be released for the Black Caps 2023 to 2027. Are they working on that one?
Yeah, we are. It's finalised. There's a meeting in Birmingham, ICC meeting on the 23rd. And my understanding it's going to be released at the end of July. So that's all confirmed. And I can assure you that the fans are going to be delighted with the content that we've got.
Okay, David, thank you very much. I know you've been answering a few questions this morning. Thanks for answering ours. I hope that's cleared a few things up with our texters as such. And thank you for your time, mate. Let's hope it goes better. Cheers, mate. Okay, David White there, former teammate and, of course, CEO of New Zealand Cricket with his thoughts across the board. It is coming up to 11:30. I imagine you'll have some texts in reply to that. That's fine. Some short answers, some relatively short answers there and what they're going to do about it. Quite clearly they are very, very happy, New Zealand Cricket, with the level of coverage that they're getting, the type of coverage that they're getting. I get a lot of personal messages and that to the extent that a lot of people aren't. That's just a matter of opinion. But I do sympathise with the people in our rural communities or people that just do not have fibre going past their front letterbox because they are the true sports fans and they're the ones that have to travel the miles as well when they get the opportunity to go. And if they can't, they like to stay in touch with the game. So I can see exactly their point of view there. But the fact of the matter is, and I was gut-punched when Sky lost it. I'll be honest with you. That was my job. I'm one of my great passions. And I was absolutely, I got FOMO there for a little while, and I'm now over it, thank goodness. But that's the matter. The fact is, it's a business. It's a business, and, you know, you just have to observe the income and the outgoings and the bottom line. And the income from Spark was sizably better than Sky were able to come up with at the time. And so from that point of view, solely from that point of view, to ensure the security of the sport going ahead, etc., to the development of the sport going ahead, was, you know, it's imperative that you've got the money to be able to do that. It's got to be a lot of angst, of course, a lot of disappointment. Why isn't cricket coming to our area, et cetera, at that time? But they can't play everywhere all the time, and I guess they do their best for the game as they see fit with the opportunities that they have. One of the things that I should have asked him, of course, is the development of the game at junior level. Because we didn't send a team to the last World Cup. So we missed a generation of World Cup cricketers as such. So that was disappointing. And what are we going to do to help those particular players catch up? A lot to digest there. It is coming up to 11:31 here on SENZ, which means you can light up the lines. You've been brilliant on the text machines this morning, and I absolutely thank you for that. We didn't even solicit calls when we got some early on in the piece. But now we are soliciting calls, 0800 150 811. Brian Rarere will be your quiz master this morning. Let's hope it goes better than Joey Bell, every chance that it will. And so then we will be giving away to you the possibility of some sleep drops and, of course, $50 worth of vouchers from the TAB. That comes after the news here from Aloha.